Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. Today is Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014. The weather is beautiful here in Clearwater, Florida, where I'm looking out my window. I actually, as I'm sitting here doing the radio show every weekday at 12 noon Eastern, I'm sitting here looking out 17 feet of windows into my backyard where there's all these oak trees and birds and sometimes I see cardinals and red-headed woodpeckers and all kinds of things. It's just really lovely. It's lovely to sit here and chat with you every day and to be with my guests in this beautiful natural atmosphere. Anyway, that's what I'm looking at when I'm talking to you. Today, my guest is Pamela Seefeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And Pamela knows so much and she's just incredible in terms of what she knows and her ability to help people get well. And she's been working with me personally. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. And also other people that I know here in Clearwater, Florida. She's based here in Clearwater. And she has, she's a registered pharmacist, and she works with, she educates physicians, pharmacists, and the general public about the proper use of botanicals. But she also studied a field called pharmacognosy. That's the study of medicinal plants in addition to studying drugs. And so what she likes to do really is take people off prescription drugs instead of give them to them. And she likes to help people with medicinal plants and other natural substances to handle whatever is going on with their bodies instead of going on drugs in the first place. Because the difference between drugs and medicinal plants is that drugs may control your symptoms, but medicinal plants and natural substances will actually heal your body. And so she knows so much about this that I have her on every other Wednesday because we're just going through all kinds of different physical problems and talking about what are the alternatives so that you don't have to take drugs. And I am just thrilled to be bringing you this information. Hi, Pamela.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Thank you. So today we're going to talk about how you can lose weight, even if you've been having difficulties losing weight like me. And especially, I know that a lot of people who, a lot of people who have had chemicals damage their body, which is virtually everyone in the world today, that if you have endocrine problems or other kinds of problems like with your liver, can't detox or whatever, that a lot of times overweight is not because you're eating too much or that you're a bad person, but that your body just isn't functioning the way it's supposed to function. And I know that you've been working with me for a couple of months on just all the things that have all my unhandled physical conditions, which are all improving. But specifically, yes, they are. But specifically, since I've been working with you, I've lost 14 pounds, like really kind of effortlessly. Yes, yes. And part of it has been because something that you've done has changed the way my body interacts with food. And so I don't have cravings for anything. I don't have to use any willpower to eat the right foods because I have no desire to eat sugar or any of those things that I used to have to struggle with, that I knew what was the right thing to do, but my body was saying, give me that sugar. And so now it's just like, I just eat my three meals a day. I even forget to eat my snack in the afternoon. I eat my three meals. I eat something before I go to bed. And I'm never hungry in between. I have no cravings. And my body is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And my clothes are hanging on me. And I'm just very happy.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm so happy for me, too. I got to the point the other day where I realized, with a bang, kind of, actually, that I could put my attention on other things in my life instead of having to deal with my body problems. And that was
good
kind
for
of funny
you. You
because
know what? Really, I'm really touched. I'm really so happy and honored that I can help you and that you're doing so well. I mean, I knew
yes.
that this was just really what you needed.
Yes, you did. You gave me exactly the right thing. And somebody asked me, I was telling somebody about this yesterday, and he said, well, what is she giving you? And I said, well, it's not about having just like a box of things that she gives to every person who has a weight problem. It's very individual. And that by you giving me the right things for my body is saying, okay, I can release this weight. And So it's about the individuality. But we're going to talk about today about different things that different ways that you can help people lose weight if they're having trouble losing weight. I'm hoping that we're going to talk a little bit about some of the drugs that people take to lose weight and why people shouldn't take them and what they can do instead. So Correct. Why don't you start wherever you'd like to start?
Okay, The end game of worrying, like blaming people that they're not eating the right food, or you know that it's somehow a moral dilemma that they're just not able to control their hunger. That's not really what it's all about, okay? And it's not necessarily calories in, calories out, because we know the person that sticks in and they eat all day long. So it's not necessarily even those circumstances, okay? So there's different things in the body that affect metabolism. The good way to look to see if you're having insulin resistance and storing a lot of the calories as sugar is to look at your fasting glucose. So, like, if you go to the doctor and they do a blood panel on you, it's called a CMP, and it's called Complete Metabolic Profile. You can see all your electrolytes and your sugar. And when people meet with me, and it's a free consultation, if you bring me your blood work or fax it or email it to me, I'll go over the numbers with you because it's not about the range, okay? So the problem with looking at blood work and deciding whether somebody has metabolic syndrome or has some problems or some propensities to store excess sugar as fat, it's not about the range because that's like the general population, right? Mm-hmm. So one person, a fasting blood sugar at 95, they might be stick thin, and another person, they're already gaining a lot of weight. So it's not necessarily about the range, but I tell people that if your fasting blood sugar should really reside between 75 and 85. That's where most normal people are going to be, right? So when you start getting up into the 90s, you know, 95, 96, or close to 100, what I typically see if somebody comes in here, they're starting to, they're middle-aged, so they're blaming it on menopause, okay? That's not necessarily always what's happening. And they're starting to gain weight, and they're not eating very much. And I look, and their fasting blood sugars in the 90s, and their triglycerides are sky high, their cholesterol is sky high, and they're like, well, I don't eat these kinds of foods. And so what's happening is that they're being blamed for this, but really it's insulin resistance, right? The sugar's mm-hmm. turning into fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a good way to start is to say, okay, am I putting on weight, and what's my fasting blood sugar? And that's something that the doctor can easily determine. There's some new studies, too, and I know fructose, we think about high fructose corn syrup, and of course we try and avoid all that in general. But if you look at what the studies show, the amount of sugar that's added to food, okay, is here in the United States, between 1970 and 2000, the amount of added sugars in the food supply rose 25%.
Well, that's amazing. A friend of mine just went to see a film, I haven't seen it yet, it's called Fed Up, and he said that it was about sugar in our foods. And that, you know, on the back of the label of a food label, it has the nutrition facts and
Correct.
That it has all these different things about, and it gives the percentage of the daily requirement or the daily allowance. And sugar is listed, the amount of sugar is listed, but it doesn't give the percentage. And he told me in the film that they said that the daily allowance for sugar is something like 6 to 9 teaspoons. 6 to 9 teaspoons of sugar a day. It is. And he said even at that being the allowance, that if they were to put the percentage of the daily allowance that is the sugar in the product, it would be like 400% or something. And that's why they don't put it on there, because it would just there's just so much sugar in these processed foods, and people just don't understand.
Well, that's what's happening. The sugar, and not only that, too, you know, even in healthy foods, you look at, mm-hmm. like, a lot of these soy milks and so forth, they'll put rice bran syrup. It's sugar.
It's sugar.
They relabel it as something else. Organic cane juice. it's still sugar. So you have to look at that. And what we see now, okay, is there was a new study that was just published in Molecular Metabolism, and they were talking about
how... Before you tell us
how,
about that, wait, before you tell us, we have to go to break. So I don't want to interrupt you in the middle of
okay,
telling us
good.
About the study. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. We're talking about losing weight, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist, and you can go to her website at botanicalresource.com. Okay, Pamela, tell us about the study.
Okay, so what they're finding is there's a vulnerability and a variability to fructose. And this is a brand new study that was published in the journal Molecular Metabolism. The New York Times was citing this on October 14th of this month, and was looking at what is exactly happening with fructose, okay? And what we're finding is that fructose, when you take it, and so you say you have a piece of fruit and you don't have any protein or fat with it, like yogurt or a piece of cheese or something. If you just have fructose by itself, okay, what it does is instead of going into the bloodstream, it goes immediately to the liver, and it stimulates the production of triglycerides. So it increases cholesterol. So this is a good example when I see people, some of these women that come in, and they're very athletic, and they work out a lot, and they're in great shape, and they eat a lot of fruit, and all of a sudden they come back and they're having cholesterol at sky high. This is what can happen. Fructose, the sugar fructose, is handled differently than glucose, which is like in regular table sugar. So if you're going to have fruit, and what they're seeing is varies, they're finding that there's a growth factor, a blast is called fibroblast growth factor 21. That's not really important, but what they're finding is that obese subjects had higher levels of this, and it makes you store fat. So it's not that the person that's heavy is eating improperly, it's that there's other things going on with the hormones, and apparently this hormone is much more effective with fructose than any sugar. So what does this mean to you and I? And I always tell this to my patients. You don't want to be eating fruit that's high in sugar by itself, because you're going to store it as fat. Example, like watermelon.
That was the first one that came to mind, was watermelon.
Yep. I mean, it's not that these things are bad. It's not like you can't eat them, but you have to combine them with fat or protein to delay the gastric emptying. But if you're eating lots of fruits that are basically water and sugar, you're going to end up with these problems. And eventually, you know, you might be thin in the beginning, but eventually you're going to end up gaining a lot of weight.
Well, you know, I watch people eat or drink smoothies with a lot of fruit in them. I mean, it's just straight fruit and protein powder or something. Although protein is probably good, that protein or fat. But it's just a lot of fruit and a lot of sugar that is going in. And I know that whole foods are good, but most vegetables don't have the same degree of sugar. And I also know from my own research that different fruits have different amounts of sugar. And so, like, there's very, like, I eat mostly berries and cherries because they're on the low end of how much sugar they have in them. And I eat them all by themselves, I mean, separate from a meal. And I put cream on them, grass-fed cream.
That's smart.
Yeah, every night I have my lovely bowl of mixed berries or cherries with grass-fed cream, and I'm very happy.
Look at you. So you understand the physiology of it, that the sugar is really going and it's creating all these lipids. You have to know, too, that fructose is pro-inflammatory, okay? So it can cause inflammation. So if somebody has any kind of rheumatism or arthritis, they have no business eating tons of high sugar fruits. Same thing, it alters body weight by altering the leptin sensitivity. And leptin is all about, you know, whether you're storing fat and also that you're feeling hungry or not. So I'm not saying fruit's bad, but when they say eat your fruits and vegetables, I really would rather say eat your vegetables. That's kind of where I'm coming from.
And that's my experience in my own body. The other thing that I can say is that I used to, now I'll say something that's very embarrassing, but it's true. And I think there are other people in this boat. And so I want to say this so that people can see like how far you can come. I used to do things like eat a whole bag of cookies for dinner, or I once ate a whole coconut cream pie.
I'm sure a lot of people have done that. A half gallon of ice cream. I've done that.
And you know, if you go, it's interesting because when I love to travel, But when I travel, it's interesting to, for me to see what different places consider to be food. Like when I went to San Francisco, I lived in San Francisco a few years ago for 3 months. I couldn't find a sweet potato to save my life in a restaurant because I had to eat three meals a day in restaurants and to try to find something.
That's funny.
And you know, you go to a restaurant for breakfast and everything is sugar and wheat. They even put flour in scrambled eggs in some places. You have to ask, is this 100% eggs? And it's just kind of amazing to go out to eat and see what you're being fed and how much sugar is anything. One of the things, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Just go to the Food Channel and watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and you'll see how much sugar is in restaurant food. It's in everything.
Yeah, you see them cooking the food, right?
You see them cooking the food. It's in everything, and they just toss it in. It doesn't matter if it's a dessert or not. I mean, it's just, and people don't understand what sugar actually does to weight. I can tell you for a fact. I mean, I don't eat white sugar. I mean, I eat white sugar maybe once a year if I'm out someplace and I just have to eat that Godiva chocolate cheesecake, you know. gluten-free Godiva
chocolate cheesecake. Yeah, I don't even have it in my house. That's a problem because if I have people over for coffee, like the family, I don't have any of that there. I mean, I'm like, look, we have coffee here, but I don't have sugar in the house. So, you know, I'm really sorry if that's what you want.
Yeah, I have things like honey and coconut sugar, which are not so refined and stuff. But I'll tell you that if I eat even coconut sugar, I stop losing weight. That's the thing. And if I cut out the coconut sugar, I'll lose weight again. And it's as simple as that. That if I'm eating whole foods, if I'm eating my fruit with cream, if I'm not eating any kind of sweetener at all, refined or unrefined, just nothing, then I will lose weight.
Well, it's altering the leptin sensitivity.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to talk a little bit about green tea, too. So we can just talk about some of the different supplements.
Okay.
Green tea is great.
You have 40 seconds.
40 seconds? Okay.
Ahead.
Green tea is great because it contains epigallocatechins, and it can protect against cancer as well. But it revs up your metabolism, and it's not going to make you jittery. And I use this every day before I work out, and I think it's great.
I take it every day, too. I take green tea extract, and I also drink green tea that I brew. I love green tea.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the capsules themselves because if you do the tea itself, you're doing a water-soluble extract. You're not going to get all the epigallocatechins. The best combination would be some of both.
Oh, good. Well, that's good to know. So we need to go to break, and then we'll come back and talk more about how to lose weight. Even if you've had difficulty losing weight before, there are things that you can do, and I'm living proof of that because after years of not being able to lose weight, I've lost actually 25 pounds since January. I'm very proud of that. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seefeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. Pamela, you mentioned that you do free consultations on the phone. Why don't you give people your phone number so after the show they can call you?
Yes, that sounds great. So you can reach me here at my pharmacy. It's 727-442-4955. That's 727-442-4955.
Okay, great. So I think you were going to tell us some things that people can take that will help their bodies.
Right. So there's different supplements you can take. The green tea was the first one I was just kind of talking about that works really good. There's one that's also, and I'm not sure if your listeners have heard of this before, it's called Nopal Cactus.
I've never heard of that before.
I was looking up the studies. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's a cactus extract. And what it does is it lowers postprandial glucose, which is the glucose after an hour or so after you eat. They take a blood measurement by 25%. So this can be for people that are pre-diabetic or worried about diabetes, or even if you're eating sugar or sweets or fruit, it lowers the amount of sugar that reaches the bloodstream and as a result stops the spiking of the sugar. So it's pretty interesting, and they use this a lot for people that are diabetics to keep blood sugar low, but it also has polyphenols, which have really strong antioxidant activity as well. So this is kind of like a new supplement that's kind of up and coming, and people might be interested in trying some of that. It's not that expensive, and it works really well.
Wow.
There's another. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Nopal cactus. So green tea, Nopal cactus are really good. There's another supplement that I really like a lot, and it's made by Nature's Plus. Okay, and it's called Synaptoline. And let me explain what Synaptoline is. This is why I like this.
Can you spell it first?
It's Synaptaline.
Okay.
So this product is called Synaptaline. It's at the health food store. I use it quite a lot. And what Synaptaline does is it has what's called a neurosynapse complex in it. Okay, so this particular product, originally they were doing the testing to see if it had activity, and they were going to use it as a happy pill. It has antidepressant activity because it works on dopamine in the brain. Dopamine is the neurotransmitter that's released when we're eating something fattening, intoxication, that kind of thing. So dopamine is really important. So sometimes when I have people that have some depression and I'm using maybe 5-HTP or Omega-Bright and I'm not sure if I'm getting the full result, I'm like, look, let's try another neurotransmitter. Let's try and work on dopamine. So I use this a lot for mental health. But what's interesting is that they decided to market it as a weight loss product because they found that when people were taking it, this happy effect actually makes you not want to eat.
That's interesting.
Isn't that cool? It
is cool. And I think that a lot of wanting to overeat gets triggered by wanting food for emotional comfort. And that when you're not eating emotionally, I would probably say the single biggest change for me since I've been working with you, or you've been working with me, we've been working together, is that this big shift from feeling like I need to eat or that I have to eat or that, it's just my body is just calm all the time. And I just go, okay, it's breakfast time. It's time to feed my body. You know, it's not like I have to eat or I'm going to die or I'm upset, so I have to have a pizza. Or it's like that. All of that is just gone, and I just feed myself healthy food.
Well, that's wonderful. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's hard to detach yourself from that because a lot of times we associate food with comfort.
Right.
So this is interesting because you can use this for depression, especially if someone has refractory depression where the medicine's really weren't working for them, and I'm using some supplements for them, and I'm getting half results, and I want to just kind of boost it up a little bit. But then the nice part about it is that weight loss tends to result from it as well. So that's a really good supplement. It has a lot of data on it that works really well, and it's like I said, it's available at the health food store. I use it a lot for mental health too, so that's very good. I don't want to forget it to talk about coconut oil because coconut oil is very important. We know that coconut oil lowers viruses in the body. It's like a 75% reduction, so it has a lot of effects as far as if someone has chronic fatigue. They're worried about cold and flu season. But coconut oil, what their studies found is that when you're using coconut oil and replacing that from other oils in your diet, oil makes you feel filled up and you're not as hungry. And
right.
This also helps. This does not promote fat storage because coconut oil is made of medium-chain triglycerides, and MCT oils are burned up immediately in the bloodstream. So when you take coconut oil, it's actually used as energy right then. It cannot be stored as fat. And what's nice about coconut oil...
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Did you know that? Yes. Yes. It can't be stored.
I love coconut oil.
Yes, it's MCT oils. MCT oils is what we use in people in liver failure because people in liver failure can't process fat. So they get special nutrition in cans that are... MCT oils. So what we're finding is that this is primarily MCT oils, and as a result of that, you get lots of energy. So people that are doing athletics, they want to just up their game as far as like their energy levels during the day. They don't want to have, be necessarily consuming lots of high caloric foods. Coconut oil is a good little trick.
Wow. I just, we talked about coconut oil on the show that we did about colds and flu and helping your immune system. Because it boosts that as well. But I just want to say again that coconut oil is great for any kind of cooking. And, it hardens at a cold temperature, so you can't, make salad dressing and then store the salad dressing in the refrigerator. But you could use it for salad dressing if you make it up fresh and your oil is at the right temperature. But also there's something called coconut manna or coconut butter. Different brands have different names. And it's coconut oil mixed with coconut meat. So it's more of the whole coconut. And I can just eat that stuff right out of the jar with a spoon. It is so delicious.
That's very good for you.
Oh, delicious. So delicious, yeah. So if coconut oil doesn't seem appetizing to you, look for coconut manna. And my favorite one is, I think it's Artisan something is the brand. And it's just so good, coconut manna. And that's a really great way to get this.
Right, so the MCT oils are important. That's another way to lose weight. The studies show, too, that taking fish oil also helps to keep weight down. I mean, we're talking more about natural supplements. We're going to talk a little bit about the drugs near the end, but you should look at the taking some omega-3s every day also helps a lot. I'm a big fan of doing the detox. I know you're on the Body Anew, and I've been on it like 15 years, but that pulls out the pesticides and the chemicals that are stored in the fat-soluble tissue. So that's the best way, too, because that actually starts dumping the fat, and that can work with or without exercise.
I really feel that happening. It's just like, you know, you go along days, and then all of a sudden there's a day that I wake up and it's like, what happened to my body? It just went and got smaller. And we have to go to break. So we'll talk more about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafelt. She's a registered pharmacist that dispenses medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. She's at botanicalresource.com, and we'll talk more about losing weight when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafelt. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. Her website is botanicalresource.com. And Pamela, give us your phone number again.
Yes, it's 727-442-4955.
Good. And you can call her after the show, and she'd be happy to talk to you. She gives free consultations. And I can vouch for the fact that she knows what she's doing, not only with me, but I know other people who see her in Clearwater. My medical doctor recommends her. She's unlike anybody you've ever talked to, I'm sure. Okay, so go on. This is the last segment. So you want to tell us about some of the drugs that people shouldn't take?
Correct. Yeah, so we'll go back real quickly. The detox is really important because it starts taking all the stuff out of the body, and that helps for the weight loss in itself. Yes. What they're normally going to give you if you go to a doctor and you're asking for weight loss is the most popular product that they're using is phentermetrazine. Okay, it's basically an amphetamine derivative, and there's a million doctors around here in Clearwater, I'm sure all around the country, that you go there, you get a B12 shot every week. They give you these appetite suppressants, and they put you on 600 calories a day. Well, if you go on 600 calories a day, you're going to lose weight anyways. But this is just so you don't feel like you're hungry. The problem with these medicines is that they can raise your blood pressure. They can cause heart problems. And remember when people were doing the Fen-Phen and they were ending up with all these heart problems? Those are pretty serious risks. And I can also tell you from a fact, because some of my clients have done this kind of stuff where they want to drop a lot of weight before a reunion or something. And they'll come in, and the one client was telling me that her blood work got completely messed up as a result of taking these medicines. And then when she brought it up to the doctor, he says, that's not my problem. That's for your regular doctor. I'm just your weight loss doctor. So that's the kind of, and I'm not saying you're all going to be that way, but I was just shocked. I'm like, no, he put you on these medicines, and the blood work looks really bad now as a result, and he's responsible. But they think of themselves, okay, you're going to pay me cash. We're just going to go ahead and give you the weight loss pills, and we'll move on from there. And that's not how things work.
Wow.
So, yeah, I can't make this up. I mean, the guy, I told him, I said, no, you go back to him and tell him, you're the one that messed it up. You fix it. But they don't want to manage anything with the chronic management. So you have to really take that into consideration when you decide to go and say, okay, I want to lose all this weight really fast, and I'm going to go for these pills. And I can also tell you that I see this quite frequently of the clients that do decide to go do this against my wishes. I'm like, all right, you don't do whatever you want. They gain the weight back and more.
Right.
After they stop the program, because it's an artificial situation for your body. No one's going to stay on that low of calories. And also, too, you lose a lot of hair as a result of this. So a lot of these people, I mean, what happens is you're eating such a low-calorie diet, and if you completely cut fat out of your diet, okay, what the studies show is that, you know, you're eating these big salads, but if you're just putting vinegar on it and you don't have olive oil, you're not absorbing any of the nutrients. So actually the hair loss that these people are experiencing during these extreme diets, it's not necessarily because they're not eating enough protein or enough calories. It's because literally the food they're eating, especially the antioxidants, they're not absorbing any of it.
That's so important, because there's all these people who have been on low-fat diets for so long, and their bodies just don't have that ability to absorb the nutrients because they're not eating fat. It's just been going on for so long.
That's exactly right.
Please eat fat. Eat fat, eat fat, eat fat.
Yes, no, because if you're thinking you're so healthy and you're eating all these vegetables and you're making this huge, colorful salad, which I do every single night, if you don't have some fat, I'm not saying douse the whole thing in tons of oil, but if you don't have a few tablespoons of olive oil on the salad, you're not absorbing any of the nutrients. And the whole idea behind eating healthy foods is that your body needs to have these things being bioavailable. And to make them bioavailable, there's ways that you can steer it into the bloodstream, but otherwise it's just providing fiber. And that's where a lot of these people miss the point. It's not about extreme calorie reduction. It's about eating every 3 hours, using detox. Maybe you want to throw in some green tea or some Nepal cactus. A lot of it's looking at your blood work and saying, is there something here that the doctor's not seeing that's telling me why I'm putting on weight and I should be losing weight? And that's a lot of it. Your numbers tell a lot about what's going on inside your body. And I think that they're commonly not looked at.
Well, I think if we look at, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if we look at fat as a symptom, as an indicator that there's something going on in your body instead of something that you're eating too much. I mean, certainly people in the world as a whole are eating incorrectly in ways that that put on more weight. But if you, like for me, I've been eating organic, natural, unprocessed food for years, and I was still not losing weight. And I couldn't figure this out. And so... that it turned out that there was something wrong with my body, not something wrong with me. And I think that that's where people need to look at this and say, it's not about the latest fad diet. If I'm gaining weight, if I can't lose weight, that's my body saying there's something wrong here. Because bodies, normal, healthy bodies are not overweight. And so it's a symptom, like having a headache or blowing your nose, you know, runny nose or whatever.
What is? It is a symptom, and that, like in your case, and in the case of a lot of other of my clients, if you have pre-diabetes or diabetes, or if you're fasting blood sugars in the 90s, I tell people that we want to use some homeopathy, some medical homeopathy, like pericardium triple warmer, to start bringing the sugar down, because most of the time these hints are coming in your blood work, and they're telling you that you're going to be at risk for a certain thing, especially diabetes or metabolic syndrome, and I think that they're often ignored. Most of the time, the people do not hear any kind of words of caution out of their physician until they're up in the hundreds.
Yes.
By that time, you already need medicine. So it's really wrong. We don't want people to be on a bunch of medicine. We want people to be healthy and happy and prevent these ongoing problems. And I always tell people, it's kind of like you're in front of the Misty Bridge, and these things are all showing that something's coming. And I would just tell you to approach it head on and stop it at the pass. Going to the other side means medicines, feeling sick, and not being 100%. And that's what people really deserve.
They do. And, you know, I really hear you talking about health and happiness, and you're not talking about how can the industry make more money. You're talking about how can we be healthy? I know that doctors help people in various ways, and I don't want to, like, be against the whole entire medical profession. But really, if you take a look at it, their job is to sell drugs.
Right.
Their job
and that's what pharmacy does. And I understand that, because I still work as a pharmacist. I like pharmacy. I embrace both. But I see this in a lot of patients, and I see this even as a clinical pharmacist, that people, if they were given an opportunity a few years before to do a few simple, inexpensive things, they wouldn't need any of the medicine, and they wouldn't end up in the hospital where I have to dose their medicine. And that's what it's all about, is preventing some of these things. And look at the healthcare costs. They're out of control in the country. Some of this could really be prevented, but also quality of life, right?
Right.
These people deserve to not be on all these diabetic medications, and a lot of this weight gain is just a symbol that the sugar's not balanced, and using some homeopathy in your water every day pretty much can reverse it, and it's inexpensive and it's safe. So I would really encourage people, if they think that there's some kind of a disbalance with glucose metabolism, or if they're, especially the way they handle fructose and fruit, to give me a call and I can tell you some simple things that you can do.
Yes, please do that, because it's made a huge difference in my life. And tell us some of the conditions that you end up with, other conditions besides overweight. If you're overweight, what else happens in your body?
Well, you have excessive inflammation because it stimulates circulating cytokines. So people end up having pain and arthritis, and maybe even leading to like chronic fatigue. But also it impairs memory. And this is what they know, that people that have excessive amounts of circulating sugar, it impairs hippocampal memory formation. So if that's why you're talking about people that you know, you kind of get like foggy when you're eating too much sugar. Well, this is what happens. The sugar can overwhelm the body, and as a result of that, you're not only gaining weight and your lipids are really high and you don't feel good, but it can create an element where you're not, your cognitive function is impaired to some degree. And this is really important, because let's face it, we all want to be on top of our game with our memory.
Yes.
And this is something that excess amounts of sugar can cause problems. Don't mention the fact that kidney problems, you know, eye problems, all those things, especially with diabetics.
Yes. So
those are really all very, very important.
This is something that people can do. That, I mean, isn't overweight like one of the major health problems in America today?
Most definitely. Well, let's face it, a lot of people's problems are because they're storing the sugar and they're storing the calories that they consume in an excessive manner. And then a lot of times they'll chalk it up to, okay, it's hormones, or, you know, she's big bone. And I mean, I understand all that stuff, but really it's about, why is your body storing it? And it's storing it because there's disimbalance with the way that the insulin is taking sugar into the cell.
Yeah. And there's something we can do about it.
Well, this has been
so interesting. We only have a minute left. So anything you want to say for a minute that we haven't said?
Also, I would tell you too, sleep is very important. I mean, people, this is like really ordinary talk, but people getting 8 hours of sleep, 7.5 hours of sleep, they know that sleep affects weight, and it also affects your hunger level. So people that do not sleep the appropriate amount of time, they're definitely going to be more at risk for storing all their calories as fat.
I have found that too. And one of the things that you gave me, we talked about this one on the sleep show, is passion flower. And that really helps me sleep. And then I wake up in the morning and my body has had the opportunity to do its fat burning thing overnight. And that I feel better. Anyway, we've got only about 10 seconds. So thank you so much. Give your phone number again.
Okay. Yes. Please call me. I would be gratefully happy to help you at any circumstance. It's 727-442-4955.
Thank you so much. And Pamela is on every other Wednesday. So 2 weeks from today, she'll be on again with more great information about how you can live healthy without drugs. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.